So actually, I want to start with another verse, another reading, sorry. Someone could read Romans 8, verse 23. Anyway, Romans 8, verse 23.
Try to find it. Romans 8.
Based on that, you know that God is going to be good. So I want to title this as God intends it for good. That's the title of this message. God intends it. God is not delighted with our suffering. So God isn't here saying, I'm really going to get Phillips in. I've been waiting for all summer. He's not interested in doing us harm. However, as we know, life has ups and downs, so I want to call those battles and blessings. In our life, we have battles and blessings. Tony, can you just read again your bit, but only verse, chapter 37, verse 2 to 8, only 2 to 8.
Verses 2 to 8.
37 to 8.
Okay, so I have to go in again. Apologies. Okay.
You're at 99.
Yeah. So, verse 2 reads, this is the account of Jacob. Joseph, a young man, 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah. His father's wives, he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made a richly ornamented robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and what he had said.
So I enjoy this. This is my favorite Sunday school story. Yeah. I attended Sunday school quite a lot. And I have to actually be quite grateful and thankful to those people who taught us in the school. But this particular story, Joseph the Technical Dream Code, is my favorite. And I'm sure you know the story. The story continues where he had the dream. He also said that his parents were going to bow down to him. So here's this teenager, quite pompous, telling his older brothers that they're going to bow down to him, and actually having the nerve to tell his parents, "You two are going to be bowing down to me." But as I said, God intends the good. So I want to pick up on the story again. So if, let's say, can you read 37, 19 to 28? 37, 19 to 28.
It's on the screen if you wish.
Oh, here comes that dream. They said to him, "Come, now let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams." When Reuben heard this, he tried to rescue him from their hands. "Let's not take his life, he said, don't shed any blood. Throw him into this cistern here in the desert, but don't lay a hand on him. Reuben said this to rescue him from them and take him back to his father. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the richly ornamented robe he was wearing, and they took him and threw him into the cistern. Now the cistern was empty, and there was no water in it. As they sat down to eat their meal, they looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. Their camels were loaded with spices, balm, and myrrh, and they were on their way to take them down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, what will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's send him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood. His brothers agreed.
So I want you to kind of look at this. There's this theme going through here, which I'm going to, as we continue through various verses, one of it's about battles and blessing, battles and blessing, good and bad happening to you as you go through your life. Mm-hmm. So here, this is a battle about something bad that has happened to Joseph. His brothers have sold him on into slavery and things like that. Paul, can you read the next verse, which is 39, 1 to 6? 39.
Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph, so that he had prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favour in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and all that he had owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome.
So I've just mentioned about the battle. Something bad. And even in the midst of that, he's there in prison. You could see the weaving of a blessing happening at the same time. So he's blessed, and as a result of that, all the people around him are also blessed. So I just want to think about blessing. Can somebody read Psalm 15? Psalm 15. Psalm 15. Nothing's good on.
Okay, here it comes.
I'm just probably going to get it in a second.
There you go. Okay, so Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary, who may live on your holy hill? He whose walk is blameless, and he who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart, and does no and has no slander on his tongue, who does his neighbor no wrong and casts no slur on his fellow man, who despises a vile man, but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps his oath even when it hurts.
So what I understand from this is, as we're talking about this theme of battles and blessing, good and bad, stuff's going to happen to you. Just expect it, but still keep your character. That's what I understand from something. I mean, continue to do stuff that is worthy, stuff that's honorable, even though we're going to have this interweaving of bad stuff happening throughout your life. Okay, Philip, say, if you just continue for me, 39:7-20. 39:7-20.
And after a while, his master day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. "Look," she said, "this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed." When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story. "That Hebrew slave you brought us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." When his master heard the story his wife told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me," he burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined.
Thank you very much. So the story continues where he's blessed by God, but all of a sudden, another battle. So he is faced with rape, as a, you know, and molesting of his master's wife. He's now in trouble. Can I ask Tony to read 41:9-6.
Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "Today I am reminded of my shortcomings." Pharaoh was once angry with his servant, and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now, a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. And things turned out exactly as he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was hanged. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought to him from the dungeon. Then he was shaved and changed his clothes, and he came before the Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." "I cannot do it," Joseph replied to Pharaoh, "but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires."
Thank you. If you're familiar with Joseph's story, you would know that he was in prison for 2 years after this assault and rape charge. He was in prison for 2 more years, and remember, while he was in the house before, he was interpreting the dreams of the prisoners, and there was the cupbearer and the baker. And the cupbearer and the baker both had a dream. He told one, "You will be put back to your position in Pharaoh's house." And he told the other person, "You will actually be impaled, and the birds will pick your flesh from a stake." But the point I'm making, even through all this turmoil, he said, "When you go back to your position, remember me and remind Pharaoh, or tell Pharaoh, of the things that I could do, trying to get me out of prison." However, he was forgotten. Battles and blessings. It's going to be struggle. He was forgotten there for 2 more years in dungeon. So the story continues now that Pharaoh has this dream, and that is when the cupbearer remembered that there's this person in the dungeon with me 2 years ago, and he was actually interpreting my dreams. So Pharaoh has sent for him. Go on, can you read 25? Can you read 49? Sorry, can you read 41, verse 25, 28 to 30?
Yes. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do." That's 25. Then again at 28. "This is the thing that I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come throughout the land of Egypt. But after them, 7 years of famine will arise, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will deplete the land. So the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following, for it will be very severe. And the dreams was repeated to Pharaoh twice, because the things are established by God, and God will surely bring it to pass."
Thank you. So, but there's a blessing that interweaving between the two. And Joseph is now back in the position of Pharaoh. If you understand the story, if you're familiar with the story, he's now put in charge of all of Egypt. And just in the case with Potiphar, some time ago when Potiphar left everything to him, he's in charge of all of Egypt, and Pharaoh has left everything to him. He is charged with collecting food for the whole of Egypt, but in fact he's collected so much food that not just Egypt, but all the other countries in the world are now coming to Egypt to get food, because nobody else had prepared for the famine. So if you look at the moral of the story, God intends it for good. So, three things. One, God intends it for good. God will always prepare or train you for an important task. There will always be blessings and battles within your life. So if you take it first, God intended for good. It was not a good intention that Joseph's brothers had when they threw him into the pit or sold him into slavery. That was not a good intention. But in order for Joseph to be in a position to influence Pharaoh, he had to be rich. So, God will always prepare you for an important task. So if you know the Bible story, if you think of David and Goliath, David didn't just rock up and kill Goliath at 15. Do you remember, if you read the story, he had been killing lions and chasing bears from his flock. He had to be practicing how to use his sling. So when he used his sling and hit Goliath, that was the first time he used his sling. He had to train. So God will always train him for a task. And he had to train Joseph. So he gave Joseph, I think the Bible says he was 17 when he left, when he was captured, and he was 30 when he became in charge of Egypt. Years of training, lots of years of training, in order to remove that kind of selfish teenage boasting tendencies. The last one, there will always be battles followed by blessing, battles followed by blessing. So when you are in the height of prosperity and lots of pleasant things, you know battle will come. You know that this joyous occasion, you begin to move and lose some silence. But when you're sad, also remember that blessings will come. Even at the time when you're sad, you'll lose some joy and to move. So I want to ask Ruth to read something for me. I want Ruth to read Matthew 25, verse 14 to 30.
"Again, it will be like a man going on a journey. He called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here it is, what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I had not sown and gather where I had not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put your money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who had 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And throw that worthless stone outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
So what is the moral of that story? See, Joseph had a talent, he had the ability to interpret dreams. But the point of this, what Ruth has read, is that we all have talents. And we have to use our talent wisely. Every one of us is given a gift. We have to use that gift wisely. We can't worry about someone.